any time of year. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHAPAFAIR.
CJA or CGA?
What's that one?
Criminals and Gangs Anonymous.
Really?
Yes, really.
Wow.
They have a website.
Are you kidding me? Dude,
nope.
We could both
that
be in that.
That was a new one. Criminal and Gangs Anonymous.
I was a criminal for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if I constitute a gang.
One of the things it says on their website is, for people who can't seem to stop getting in trouble.
Really? Dude, if you think about it,
yeah.
we're going to help you from being in a gang, so come and hang out with the same group of people all the time.
That's a gang.
That's kind of like a gang. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
How was everybody's day?
Fantastic.
You woke up.
I woke up.
So that's always good.
Yep. Made breakfast. Watched a little TV.
Shelley made me awesome breakfast. I had eggs and sausage. It was cool.
Went to Sam's Club, which is always a fun part of a day.
Yeah. You know what? I used to have a Sam's Club membership. I didn't even use it once.
Mm-hmm. I want to go to Sam's Club.
Well, you know what the thing was? And I don't know. Do you remember the old Price Club?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well,
which is now Costco.
Oh, and Gemco. Remember Gemco?
Because
yep.
I know it's a little different now, mm-hmm. like with Sam's Club. But it used to be, when I was a kid, my mom's work was membership with Price Club, which was like Sam's Club and mm-hmm. these other Costco. You'd go in there, and stuff was really relatively well-priced. But, like, to get the price on, like, say, macaroni and cheese, you had to buy, like, 487 boxes of
yeah.
it. You know, it came in like
yeah.
a carton.
Pack of 18, yeah.
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 Like forever.
Yeah. You know what's really cool, though, about Sam's Club?
No.
You don't have to show your membership card to walk in. You just walk in. You have to use it to check out. But when you go over to the little snack bar area, they do a hot dog and a soda for $1.50.
I've seen that on Yelp where people are grading Costco based on their food, and they're like, look, it's only a hot dog and a soda, but it's a decent hot dog, and it's only $1.50.
Yeah.
They're like, how can you go wrong?
Dog
it's like going
soda.
To IKEA.
Dog and a soda for $1.50.
On the weekends, back east, Costco is referred to, on the weekends, is referred to as the senior buffet. Because on the weekends, they have all the free samples, and like dozens and dozens
oh, yeah.
and dozens of free samples.
Oh, yeah.
So the blue hairs
you could
that
eat.
Are on fixed incomes will flock into Costco, not spend a dime, and eat lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have lunch today. I went to Costco. I went to Sam's Club and went
and
back
snacked.
There, and they had the sushi guy.
Oh no!
Back there doing samples.
I'd be like, I know you've seen me 27 times,
yeah.
but you don't really care, right?
Yeah.
You just work
yeah.
here. Yeah, load me up.
Yeah, can you wrap a little tuna around that for me?
Well, we were talking earlier. Shelley and I went to a place called the Sugar Bowl, which I love. Don't get me wrong. I love the Sugar Bowl, but something was up today.
I'm never going back.
I don't
again.
Know what it was. Maybe something to do with the malt. I don't know. But we were discussing how. Shelley said, what were you talking about? People's houses?
Yeah. You cook in your house every day. People violate all kinds of health and safety laws in their own kitchens every single day. And the incidence of people getting sick in their own homes is relatively low compared with you go out to eat somewhere, you come back and you're like laying in bed going, ugh, for 4 hours.
A good example of that is you see the grades on the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
right? A, B, I don't even know C, if you can stay open on a C, but A, B, whatever. I would be willing to bet that my barbecue grill is probably a C or a D. And I probably wouldn't go to a restaurant that had a C in the window.
Yeah.
But the barbecue that's probably a C
uh-huh.
makes great barbecue.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm being over picky.
I don't know. Yeah, I was just thinking about when you guys were talking about how you were feeling. I was thinking about today. I prepped everything to make ribs.
Nice.
So
Do you boil them first?
I boil them first, then I put the barbecue sauce on, then I bake them for 3 hours, then I finish
then
them
you,
on the grill.
Then you grill them to get
but
the grill
after
factor.
I got done cutting them and putting them in the boiling water, and I wear gloves when I cook, but I didn't change the gloves. And then I made cookies with the same gloves on that I did the ribs with. And then I
thought the cookies were good anyway.
Yeah, I mean, wipe off the cutting board and then do the next thing.
I've done that.
I don't know. My mom used to cut raw chicken on the cutting board and then, cut the salad on there, and we ate the salad and everything. We were fine.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm positive. I think my crib probably had lead-based paint on it, too.
On the two wide slats?
And,
on the
slats
that were too wide?
So you get your head stuck in?
And do you remember? I'm sure you remember. I mean, I remember when riding in the back of the truck bed was a treat.
Yes, and we all fought for who got the wheel well.
Yeah, and the wheel well is like the kiss
like
of
the
death.
Suicide seat.
Because if you're going to have a problem, if you're leaning against the back, you might break your neck, you might hurt your back, but you're not going to get catapulted.
Yeah, if you're sitting on the wheel well,
you're going.
You got a journey ahead of you. You hit something.
It's like those videos you see where, like, I see these are guys in the Midwest, and they're like towing someone in some kind of thing.
Uh huh.
And, behind a truck, and they're sitting on, like, some kind of snow sled or something.
Yeah.
And what always happens, they turn a corner, and, of course, this thing swings way out wide and hits a telephone pole or a mailbox. And
every time.
That was great fun.
I saw something akin to that going down Badillo yesterday.
Really?
Guy in a motorhome towing with rope, just regular old rope tied to a truck. The truck is following along behind. There's a guy in the truck trying to steer the truck so that it follows the motorhome.
And did the steering wheel stay on?
Well, the truck was kind of wobbling a bit. Like, I think there was something wrong with the steering or whatever. Fortunately, the brakes seemed to work because he didn't hit the motorhome at the stoplight.
My sponsor and I,
that was an adventure.
I can't remember what it was I blew on the truck, but I blew something,
the
but
engine.
It was right next to the off-ramp. I need to get off the freeway. Cop pushes me off. Really cool because there's a parking lot right there. My sponsor comes in and we're going to try something. He goes, well, we're going to have to tow it. And I said, okay. And I don't have anything to tow it with, but we've got some, like, straps and stuff. And my sponsor is an engineer, and he looks at the back of the truck where a tow hitch would be. He comes out with these monster screwdrivers. I mean, I don't know what you would use these screwdrivers for, but they're huge. And he takes a hammer, he hammers them down into the thing where we can attach the straps to. There, he fixed it. That and some duct tape, and we were good.
That's it. That's all you need.
That was it.
Well, I did a kludge.
Kludge?
That's what it's called when you jimmy something together like that. A kludge.
Oh, my dad was Mr. Kludge.
Yes, he was Mr. Kludge. I did a kludge on the air conditioner that I installed this week.
Yes, with a hoe.
Yes.
Or a rake.
Who? Rake. Well,
or
I
who
wanted...
Who was
she? Yeah.
I wanted to put...
Who did you do this with? The hoe.
Yeah.
I wanted to put an air conditioner in my craft guest room because it's like a bazillion degrees in there when it's hot outside, and I wanted to be able to use my room now that I have a nice comfy desk chair so I can actually go in there and do stuff. And it's too hot for me with all my power surges, so I get this air conditioner from Home Depot. I bring it home, and I realize that the window opens side to side, not up to down.
Oh, 15 and a half inches, all you get.
Holy crap. So the air conditioner fits in there, but then what I did was I wedged the door, the window shut onto the air conditioner with my large type copy of Ivanhoe, so I better not want to read it this summer.
Okay.
And then I put cardboard over the hole where the rest
I
of the window
really
is open.
Wanted to read Ivanhoe this summer.
Oh. And then I realized, the air conditioner is settled on the windowsill. I stuffed some fluffy stuff under the front so that it wouldn't pitch forward.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried about it falling out the back. So I went and got a really sturdy rake from the backyard and jammed it up
those
under...
rock rakes.
Jammed it up under the back of the air conditioner.
I got to tell this one thing, and then we got to get on with the show. Mm. But my dad, Shelley, and I go to paint my parents' living room once, and they had this kind of built-in entertainment center thing. And there was a mirror in here, and we couldn't figure out what was holding the mirror in. So we figure out finally how to pry it out. We get the mirror out of there because we're going to paint behind it. My dad has stuck the mirror in with a Stay Free maxi pad. Set it on it, shoved it in there, and it just enough to hold it in there.
Yep.
Perfect.
King of the duct tape. There, I fixed it. Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze.
Okay, ow.
I stood up, I got woozy.
Woo.
I'm having a knee problems. My knees are, like, completely thrashed. I think they're done in.
Shelly's having knee problems. I'm having neuropathy problems.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So they gave me some neuropathy med. Mm. They're like, take it at night because it might make you drowsy. I'm like, it's non-narcotic, right? I'm like, I don't like the sound of things that might make you drowsy.
Because it will hurt.
Oh, already.
Okay, we've
first time I took it, I was up for 7 hours.
Okay, we've got, we've got shout-outs to Donald, Bill, Brian, who else?
Isn't Brian coming out soon?
Deborah sent me something. No, Brian, actually, he emailed me. He had to cancel his trip. He had a bunch of family stuff that was going on, and he couldn't go.
No, you know what it was? He heard that you wanted him to paint something. He said, forget that.
No, I'd already told him it was painted.
Oh.
So he will not, sadly, he will not be coming, but he might be able to swing down for a visit in the fall.
Okay.
Which would be really cool.
We'll be here.
Where does
Deborah
he live? He lives
something.
In Utah, right?
Yeah.
Why don't we go to his house?
Okay. Brian, we're on our way. Right after the show. And let's see, Deborah and Katie
house.
Uck.
Katie Uck?
Yes.
All right.
And I think that's all. I hope I. Oh, Phil finally sent one.
Phil!
That, where the link worked. I'm sorry.
Awesome.
Okay, but this is a hero alert.
Kazoo's brought to you by Bill Piper.
Out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
No, it's a hero no matter what.
Yep. Staff Sergeant Daniel W. Ridgway was issued the Silver Star. He's only the 41st Marine to receive the medal. He got it for his actions during Operation Enduring Freedom. He cleared a 40-meter path on his hands and knees during combat to get to another Marine who had been hit by an IED.
When you say cleared a path,
like there was like bomb shrapnel, all kinds of crap all over the place.
Oh,
I mean,
you never know. It could have been enemy troops. You never know.
No, there was crap blowing up and
gotcha.
They were under heavy fire. On his hands and knees, 40 meters to get to another Marine who had been hit by this IED. When he got to him, he field dressed the Marine's wounds and then waited with him until another person came to drag him away on a stretcher. Then he started clearing a 100-meter landing zone so that the guy could be evacuated. And this is under heavy fire the whole time.
Okay.
100-meter landing zone. That's
yeah.
A pretty big
area.
Then after that, he continued to clear more paths on his hands and knees so that his fellow Marines could come along behind him. And as he was clearing these paths, he disarmed 5 IEDs.
Attaboy.
What a guy.
Makes you cry.
I am quoting him when he said, hey, they gave me the training and the tools I needed.
That's awesome.
Yes. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, there was a drug. There's a new drug. It's called the N-bomb.
I want a new drug. One that won't make me sick.
Yeah, well, it's killed 3 people, 3 teenagers so far.
One that won't make me kill off too soon.
Kill off too soon?
Well, we're all going to die.
Anyway. It's called the N-bomb. It was originally created as an alternative to LSD or mescaline. And it's one of the synthetic drugs. They don't have tests for it yet or anything like that.
Is it even illegal then? That's a big problem.
No, that's the problem. It's not. Yet. But so far, 3 teenagers have died for him. One, an 18-year-old from Saguaro High School, an 18-year-old at Arizona State University.
Ooh.
And now a 19-year-old from West Valley, which I'm not sure where that is.
What is it?
So, it's in the store. They're not. Wait.
How do you make it?
Arizona State's in my hometown.
I don't know how you make it.
My dad's too.
But it's being, you know, it's marketed as a synthetic alternative to LSD.
Okay.
So.
Don't take it.
Don't take it.
Public service announcement brought to you by Recovery 101.
Yeah.
In New York, an artist,
formerly known as
Arn Svensson.
Svensson?
Arn Svensson. He opened a new gallery show called The Neighbors, which has everybody up in arms. What
yeah.
he did...
Did he shoot pictures through people's windows?
Yes, he did.
Ooh.
Now, he managed to... Now, he lives in a high-rise, and he realized that with his little telephoto lens, he could see people in high-rises across the way.
Yes, that's quite popular in New York, apparently, to have a
telescope
in your room.
So that you can look at people.
That works in Vegas as well, I'm sure.
So he took these pictures with the telephoto lens. Now, he was... Careful when he took the pictures, all of the angles he took them at, you can't see the people's faces. So they
at least
can't,
the ones he published.
So they can't be identified personally. The problem is that these people are like, that's my apartment, realizing that he's taken pictures of them clandestinely. Now, they're trying, the people that he took pictures of in this that are in this gallery showing are trying to figure out how they can sue.
Of course.
Because
kicking his ass would just be out of the question.
Yeah.
The artist is quoted as saying, "For my subjects, there is no question of privacy. They are performing behind a transparent scrim on a stage of their own creation with the curtain raised high."
He deserves to have his ass kicked.
Yes, he does.
You know what, though? There's probably a defense for him in that, though. It's like if you leave all your curtains wide open, anybody conceivably could look in there.
I don't know.
It's like if you're walking down the street and your next door neighbor has their window open and they're doing a nude dance in front of it, I don't think they can sue you for looking at it.
Photographing it, though, might be a different thing.
Yeah, because he's going to be making money, $7,500 a print off of these things.
Ooh.
So.
He has an attractive neighbor.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay, we're going to Venezuela now.
Are we?
Yeah.
Hola, ¿qué tal?
Let me pack a bag.
This is, I found this story quite humorous. So they're running short on certain staples. Milk, butter, coffee, and cornmeal were the first to run short.
Oh. You'd be short on coffee in Venezuela. Your neighbors are all growing it.
Coffee beans.
Now
cha,
they are
cha,
running
cha.
Out of toilet paper.
Okay, now wait. Now we got a problem.
Now
that
we
is
a problem.
A problem.
According to a 71-year-old shopper who was quoted in this story, this is the last straw. I'm 71 years old, and this is the first time I've seen this.
He's using straw now?
I guess. Another person, Cristina Ramos, is quoted as saying, "I've been looking for toilet paper for 2 weeks. I was told they had some, but now I'm in line."
It's like, hey, mija, did they have any extra handouts at school today?
Economists are saying that the problem stems from price controls that were put in place because they were trying to make basic goods available to poor people, but because of the price controls, it's made supply short.
Isn't this the country that's making a gazillion dollars off of oil?
The president is quoted as saying that he claims anti-government forces, including the private sector, are causing the shortages in an effort to destabilize the country.
Anti-government forces are stealing all our toilet paper.
Yes, including the private sector.
So if you're with the rebels, you got toilet paper.
That's it.
Apparently.
Now, the commerce minister, and this is where I started laughing. The Commerce Minister, Alejandro Fleming, of all people, he's blaming the shortage of toilet paper on excessive demand built up as a result of a media campaign that was generated to disrupt the country.
I got it. We trade toilet paper for oil.
That's it. Toilet paper for oil, baby.
Right. Wipe your sludge.
Yeah, but so the excessive demand was built up by their media campaign, which means that it was so bad that they literally... bored the crap out of people.
I like that, Shelley.
Oh, man. She's been waiting.
You worked
a
long time to set that up.
She's been waiting for that one.
The country, the government says they are going to import 50 million rolls of toilet paper in order to alleviate the problem. However, I looked it up, and the population of Venezuela is a little less than 30 million, which means you have fewer than two rolls per person. So what are they going to do next week?
You only use one sheet. It's two-ply.
Ew, gross.
Maybe the media campaign had something to do with, like, eating more burritos or something.
Yeah. No, because we're out of cornmeal.
Oh, you know what it was? It was an X-Lax commercial.
Ooh.
All right, well, we are running short on time here.
Only the two stories.
Well, I know, but we bantered so long that we're, like, way behind time. But in Japan, Miki Nozawa, he's a 57-year-old star chef over there. I mean, he cooks
Ohio.
He cooks Italian-Japanese fusion cuisine, which apparently is quite popular among, like, famous people and crap.
That's no thing on the last story of and crap.
Yeah, he's dead. He was killed
still?
Because two men claimed they didn't like the meal he served.
Ooh,
wow.
He made them fried noodles with beef, a sauce, and vegetables. They didn't like it, so that when he left the restaurant, they beat the crap out of him, and he died of severe brain injuries and internal bleeding.
Frickin' Yelp in Japan is tough.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy guacamole. Yeah.
Wow, you know what that means? Right. The people on that Food Network show, The World's Worst Cooks, those guys' days are numbered.
Yeah, really. They better never go to Japan. And that is the end of the Boozy News.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio. Yeah.
We're back. After that commercial break, shout out
to the New Way Foundation
and Sober College. That's self-will helping.
Shelly was missing a microphone.
.com. So, Mark, we have a topic.
We do.
Let's have it.
Well, our last couple shows that went up were programmed Napoleons and...
Which will be have been up for a while by
right,
the time these
by the time
come
this
up.
Goes up. But so, you know, in the last week. And talking tranquilizers. So we kind of dealt with people who...
Put you to sleep,
and people who run the show.
Yes, the program Napoleons.
Mm-hmm. I was in a meeting on Friday, and there were some newcomers there, and there was a guy sharing, and not just sharing his experience, sharing at people for the way they needed to do things.
And so not like, this is my opinion.
No.
Like, this is
like,
what you need to do.
This was like, you know... You don't just pray. You have to learn how to pray the right way to Jesus Christ.
Oh, boy. Red flag.
Ooh.
Red flag.
Red flag.
Which then turned into three shares in a row from the Jesus Christ followers in the meeting.
Oh, boy. Did anybody leave?
No, nobody left.
Did anybody get the crap kicked out of them?
No.
Well, and the thing
matter
is,
of fact,
and don't,
I didn't even share that night.
I don't want anyone to misunderstand. It's like I don't have anything against Christians at all, you know. But you can't in program put, you know, if you're Muslim, you can't say you have to pray to Allah or you ain't gonna make it. Or, you know, you can't do that.
Yeah, and the thing that came up though was the thing that really got me was the thing about having to learn the right way to pray.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the right way according to whom?
Right.
I didn't know we had prayer police in the program.
The prayer police.
Yeah.
So. Could be the name of the show.
Yeah. So it just was one of those things where it got shared, and part of the problem was we were running short on time by the time the three people shared. And I kind of knew had I started,
yeah,
I may not have stopped for a while. And
did people look at you?
Yes.
Sure you were going to unleash the mark?
Yes.
Shelly would have been there. She would have given the raving nana.
The leader, my girlfriend, and the guy who hosts the meeting, who had already shared and didn't want to double dip, were all looking at me, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not even going there.
Now, I remember a guy that used to be at the 502 Club, and his name was Ralph. His first name was Ralph. Mm-hmm. And he was like a Shriner and great guy, and he would always refer to his higher power as being Yahweh. But then he would tell people, but you got to find the higher power that's right for you, because I've got one that's right for me doesn't mean it's right for you.
Perfect.
Real, been around a long time, 30-some years, real specific about that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take the, you know, the reason why they do it that way is so we can have Jews and Muslims and Christians and everyone all in the same group.
Yeah.
And be in agreement on you need to have a higher power, but it can be one of your own understanding.
Yep. Friend of mine in the program, she has 20-some years, was a mistress in her former life, prayed to her favorite dildo for the first year of sobriety.
Wow.
Actually put it on the top of the shelf.
I was going to say, I would have... You know, like sometimes you go into like a Chinese restaurant, they have like a little Buddha shrine. You go over to her house, there's like this dildo shrine.
Yeah. So, you know, and I'm like, great, whatever works. You got 20-some years? I guess that worked.
What about you, Shelly? You ever hear people do that in a meeting? I've heard people say that a particular deity.
Yeah. Well, we have a friend that when he shares about his higher power, he always says, my higher power, whom I choose to call Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
and then moves on with the rest of his share.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
No, that's okay.
I take great exception to anyone telling me how I have to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Extreme exception.
Yeah.
I was the secretary of the big meeting out in Pomona,
mm-hmm.
and there was a guy who brought a bunch of literature for a meeting that he was starting.
Mm-hmm.
And we would let people bring, like, flyers and stuff from other meetings and stuff and put it at the literature table. And, oh, wait, I wasn't the secretary then. I was the literature person. And he put these flyers out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I was straightening all the literature, and I looked over at it, and it was an AA meeting, but it was based on the biblical teachings of Jesus Christ.
Oh.
And I took them off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave them back to him. I said, you can't put that here. And he said, well, it's about an AA meeting. And I said, well, actually, if it's based on the biblical teachings of Jesus Christ, it's not an AA meeting.
Right.
And we only allow AA-based literature.
Right.
And he pitched a flaming fit.
Oh.
And said that it was censorship. I mean, he went on and on and on. And I held my ground.
It is. So what?
And I said, absolutely not allowed.
Yeah.
And I held my ground. And by the time the secretary got there and the treasurer, actually, the time was George F.,
mm-hmm.
and I told him what had happened. And this guy was, like, really laying into me, like, trying to, like, and personally insulting me and saying I was going to hell and all this stuff. And they backed me up.
Mm-hmm.
But he made this point, and this is what I think a lot of people, they say, oh, well, it's just one reference to it. It's just one flyer. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Why are you making a big deal out of it?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it is a big deal, because if it'll start small,
mm-hmm.
it'll get big.
That's right.
And I'm not even going to let the toehold get in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we can't afford to alienate anybody.
Right. The guy who let off the sharing about how to pray and having to learn the proper way to pray and about praying to Jesus Christ either is or was sponsored by Bruce.
Really?
Just thought I'd throw that in as a little curveball just to have some fun.
GR?
Nope.
Oh.
Okay.
Nope.
No. Well.
No, because.
Well, with the literature thing.
Yeah.
See, I don't know. I'm in a weird position on that, because I guess it wouldn't technically be AA, but I'm not sure why you couldn't have an AA meeting that was specifically for Christians, as long as they allowed anyone who wanted to come to come.
It's group conscience, and you can, to a point, because you're not violating anything. But it doesn't mean you can put the literature out at other meetings that have not approved any. I mean, if the rule in the meeting is AA approved literature only,
that's
then
true.
That's what goes there.
That's true. Even, you know, I know for some things, like for CA specifically, if you're going to make flyers for anything that's CA related, they want to get it approved. There's like a disclaimer they put on anything, you know, and I can't remember exactly what the disclaimer says, but it's like, you know, we're not at fault if anything happened, you know, and it's that way, like with meetings, for meeting flyers as well.
Right.
Well, no, the reason why because we let other meetings put flyers out. At
sure.
That was not a problem, but they were for AA meetings. But he kept saying this was an AA meeting, but it said on the flyer that it was for Christians only. That's not an AA meeting.
No, you can't.
No, can't do that.
And that was what I was taking great exception to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, agreed. You can't do that.
You know, and I am a Christian. I go to church almost every Sunday. I'm in the silly choir. I mean, I'm about as Christian as you can get, but I'm also extremely tolerant. And I don't think...
Well, isn't that kind of like the Christian thing?
Yeah, you're supposed to be extremely tolerant. That's kind of the point.
Is there room at the inn?
When I was a kid, I always wondered why there are all kinds of religions, why there were so many. If everybody said they were right, then they can't all be right. Somebody's got to be actually right.
Why can't they be right?
Well, as I got older, what I've decided is that, you know, there is the possibility that God created all the religions because he knows that everyone can't meet him in the same way. He made us. He knows we're different. And he wants a relationship with us, and that's why there are so many. And I'm fine with that. I don't care what people pray to.
What is it they say? One God, lots of prophets?
Who says that?
Me.
They.
Oh, okay. They.
They.
I've never heard
me.
That one, but okay.
Really?
Really.
Well, because pretty much every religion has a God.
Right.
But they all have, like, different prophets, you know? Muslims have
Allah.
But Allah is God. Muslims have
Muhammad.
And Christians have Jesus. And I don't know what the Jews have. I think they're still waiting. David. Yeah, we'll see. But they all have a God.
Or Solomon. Or wait, no, not Solomon. Who is? Oh well, I'll have to ask my son's stepmom.
So.
Yes.
What would your final words on prayer police be, Shelley? The prayer police.
I'm glad I wasn't at that meeting because I would have taken Mark's place with the SmackDown. I think we do ourselves a disservice when we claim to know the mind of God.
Ooh. Yeah, I was gonna say you should just cut that one right there. That's
lead on music.
That's
guy.
Awesome. Mark, what are your final words?
If I've turned my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand him, however I pray must be correct because it's God's will that I pray that way.
Ooh. My final words? There is a God, and I am not he.
Or she.
Or she. I've never thought of God as being a she, but that would probably be better, actually. Probably.
I'd understand some of the weird stuff better.
Yeah. Because I can't understand God. I can't understand women either. So it's
I just got the sideways glare from Shelley.
You got the hairy eyeball.
I did.
Shelley, who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Who, by the way, has sent us a new stack.
Yes, I saw him.
The new issue. They're in the other room. I'll get you some to take home.
Thank you.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
You
can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities, and there will be a little box in this edition if you go online with his contact info, so you can find out how to bring the 12-Step Gazette
nice.
To your town.
Cool.
Awesome. Mark.
Yeah.
Everything's working.
It's working.
That Podomatic.
I know. Thanks. Hey, go to recovery101.net to listen to the show, and you can click on play or permalink. And you can go on, if you're a member of Podomatic, You can do all the stuff that we always ask you to do. If you're not yet a member, join, and then at that point you can like the show. You can comment on the show. You can add us to playlists. You can follow, and come back and play on recovery101.net. Thanks.
Yeah, and if you follow, you'll get a, subscribe to us, follow us, and you'll get, you don't get spammed. You know, you'll get an email, a singular email, when we put up a new show. Now, just to remind you guys, if you follow a bunch of shows, you're going to get an email from each of those shows to tell you they've got something new up.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're going to follow something, make sure you really want to know about it. But we would appreciate that. It really helps us. We have email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly, we have a new band of the month.
Yes, we do.
Do you want to know what their name is?
Who are they,
Bruce? Looking for Trouble. Look, oh, she's cute. Look at that little polka dot dress in her picture.
Yeah, and she has, I can't remember exactly how long, but 3 or 4 years. And cool. we're doing this for a friend of mine from Facebook. And they're kind of like a bluesy group. They do good stuff. They're actually from our area here.
All right.
So everybody, try and leave it better than you found it, and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
Taking good care of you.